Talking Art on WVIK is sponsored by the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support for Talking Art also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Sean Moeller, the mastermind behind a variety of musical opportunities for our community here in the Quad Cities. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You've been involved in many different projects that bring quality bands to our community, starting with your founding of Day Trotter in 2006. But today we'll be talking about your upcoming Gas, Seed, and Feed Festival that will be held this coming weekend, February 15th through 17th in Davenport. For the uninitiated, what will they find there?
It's like my version of a South by Southwest, so it's kind of... We like bringing in people that maybe you haven't heard of. I'm trying to bring in people that I think I want to work with over the next year. I sort of use it as a little bit of a testing ground for people that I think I'm going to be able to kind of grow in the market. You know, a lot of the best things that I've put on over the last few years have been people that I've sort of been able to kind of nurture in the area. And, you know, I get a lot of satisfaction out of being able to kind of surprise people with somebody that they didn't know they were going to like.
Mm-hmm. I bet, and we do too.
Yeah.
There are quite a few bands. There are 20 coming up next weekend, and that's over 3 days.
Yep.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, so most of the bands will play a couple sets each. So, you know, if you like them one of the days, you can see them another day. And I really like that format. This is kind of one, I think this time through doing it is going to be kind of the most bands doing that. I've, you know, even just personally and seeing other people that have come to the festival in the last two times I've done it, you can tell that the energy level is always higher for that second set for bands that they really liked. So we're trying to do that a little bit more this time. So I think we actually booked a few fewer bands than we did the last two. And with that kind of intention of having them each play or close to each playing two sets.
Right. What type of music will people hear?
We have kind of a little bit of everything. I mean, there's obviously rock and roll, and there's folk music, and there's country music, and there's hip-hop, and there's R&B, and, you know, really anything you can imagine, we kind of have it covered. So it's a lot of fun.
To go to Gas Fest, you need to purchase a pass, which can be a single-day pass, or there are passes for multiple days as well.
Yeah, there's kind of a little bit of everything. So there's single-day passes, there's weekend passes if you can only go Friday and Saturday. There's kind of a VIP pass, golden ticket that gets you into everything. That includes we do some after-hour shows that are almost private shows at the Raccoon Motel, and those are kind of, you know, we try to make those a little more special, and you know, it also includes a dinner that we're going to do Thursday night.
The dinner is available for people who purchase the Golden Gas ticket.
Yeah.
And it's capped at 100 people.
Yeah, right. You know, we invite the bands, the artists to come and dine with us too. So it's kind of a nice way to kind of kick everything off. And, you know, everybody sort of gets friendly, which is nice.
Have you done this before?
We did. Yeah, we did the dinner the first year, well, in February last year, and it went really well. You know, the artists really liked it. And again, I think it really just kind of greased the wheels for, you know, three really fun days.
Mm-hmm. This is the second year that you've put on Gas Fest.
Yeah.
And I suppose you learn a lot as you go along. And repetition is a great thing in terms of of fine-tuning the process.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's kind of like, I think I'm learning stuff. And then there's other times where I feel like we haven't even gotten this thing going yet. You know, there's just a lot of moving parts with a 3-day thing like this, and with so many people coming to town, there's, you know, figuring out places for them to stay, and you know, just making sure they're in the right places, and making sure enough people come out to take the festival in. And you know, I think this, each one we've done, I think has gotten a little closer to the way I envision it, but I'm still not there yet mentally.
Well, it sounds like there's a tremendous amount of behind-the-scenes work pulling something like this off with 20 bands, a lot of moving parts. We'd mentioned briefly that that some of the concerts are at the Village Theater, but you have several, you have two venues. Mm-hmm. The other is at the your place, the Triple Crown Whiskey Bar.
Yep.
And that's in Davenport on 3rd Street.
Yeah, 3rd and Pershing.
And then the Village Theater is in the Village mm-hmm. of East Davenport sure. on 11th Street.
Right.
How do you locate all your artists? Because you bring so many different groups in.
It's kind of like all over the place. I mean, I don't know. It's just what I do every day. I mean, I'm just kind of hunting for people. I get a lot of good recommendations. You know, there's a lot of people I sort of trust and friends. And I think a good chunk of people that I find are recommendations from other bands that I've had in. That's always helpful. You know, if somebody from Nashville says, hey, you have to check out my friends. They just made a really great record. You know, if I like that band, those recommendations, I think, come a lot, you know, with a lot more weight to them than just the random searches that I do. But, you know, every once in a while, something just crazy falls into your lap that you weren't really thinking you were looking for. I mean, that happened yesterday to me. I found this band from North Carolina that I'd never heard anyone talk about that I just sort of stumbled upon somehow. And I kind of listened to them all day yesterday. And, you know, I'm going to try and get them to Davenport sometime soon.
With so many different genres that you're showcasing, it must take a lot of time to do that. Still, you must have a personal preference of type of music, or is that not the case?
I don't really. You know, I really just kind of like seeing, I like seeing something original. I like seeing something that, you know, I mean, it's everybody's got their own taste. Everybody's got their own opinion about what's good. I like kind of being pretty open-minded and I don't necessarily look for good. I do. I look for quality, but I look for like people that are just doing something original, you know, and a lot of times that could just be in the way they write a song, the way they, you know, the way they phrase words, the way they, you know, write a chorus. And a lot of times, obviously, if those things, you know, are original and different, it means they're good. You know, I'm not trying to say I bring a bunch of just people that do a bunch of weirdo things in, but I think there is something to just being a little bit different that lends itself to actually being great.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? And I mean, that's everybody has a preference and some people think they don't like that or think they don't like that. But I think with every show I put on, I try and have it be very palatable for anyone. You know, I think you'd be very surprised, no matter how old or how young you are, that you like something.
Right. I agree with that.
That, you know, you didn't know you were going to like, you know, I mean, there's plenty of people that say I would never go to a hip hop show or plenty of people that say they don't like country music. But unless you hear like the people that are at the very top of their craft, I don't think that's a really fair statement to make. I don't think you can confidently say you don't like that kind of music. Because if you like music, I think you're going to like anybody who's doing something in an authentic manner.
Right. I totally agree. I myself have believed that I just didn't enjoy a particular genre of music or type of music. But when you hear them live, there's a huge difference between listening to live music and watching them perform yep. than just hearing a recording.
It bridges a lot of gaps. I mean, when you see a live performance, I mean, you know, you can understand why certain people maybe say they're turned off by rap or hip hop, right? I mean, there's a large demographic of people that would be like, ah, I don't like that. But until you see like somebody really great perform it live, I mean, the energy in a room when somebody is performing really great hip hop is like nothing else. And I think the same thing goes again. I mean, I say those two genres, country and hip hop, because I think those are the ones that are most where people feel torn. Where it's like, I don't like this and I don't like this. Everything else kind of gets a little more wishy-washy. But those are the two genres that a lot of people say they don't like, right? And country music the same way. I mean, a really great honky-tonk band live in a room is, whether you like that or not, it's undeniable. They're usually great storytellers. They're usually great performers, great musicians. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't check it out.
Right. You just have to go to Nashville once and you'll start to like honky-tonk.
Well, we bring Nashville here, which is kind of great.
That is really great. With 20 bands playing, do you try to mix up the genre? So at any particular night you hear a variety of different bands, or do you try to have more similar ones play kind of back?
Yeah, I mean, we try to kind of like, even with just the way the night's laid out, obviously things are happening at both venues, you know, simultaneously, but we kind of stagger it so that you can kind of see, you know, a little bit of everything, and we try to not, you know, put two people that are similar music, you know, playing around the same time. So, you know, if you do, you know, want to choose like just seeing a certain kind of genre or whatever, you can, and you don't have to miss out on some of the people that you really want to see.
And you can literally drive back and forth between the Village Theater and the Village of East Davenport and the Triple Crown Whiskey Bar. Mm-hmm. Given your obvious passion for showcasing musical talent, I was always curious, what is your own musical background? Do you play an instrument?
No, not really. I used to play guitar when I was in college just for giggles.
Just for fun.
For fun.
Otherwise, just love listening to it.
Yeah. I don't know how it happened. I mean, I don't really have a musical family. I just, you know, you gravitate to what you gravitate towards, I guess. And I mean, when I went to the University of Iowa, I just went, I don't know. I finally had like record stores that I could walk to and I went to every day. And I don't know. I just got infatuated.
Mm-hmm. Finding something you love is often accidental.
I think so.
I mean, it's not intentionally chosen necessarily. Right. And for those who don't know, you rather boldly left your day job at the Quad City Times in 2006. You were a reporter and you were a journalism major, I understand.
I sure was.
At the University of Iowa. And then in 2006, you founded the online musical outlet Day Trotter. Mm-hmm. Which you've since moved on from in 2016.
Yeah.
You left them and along the way become involved in even more numerous other musical production projects.
Yeah. It's just been kind of a steady grind of things. I feel like I'm doing more stuff for the community now than I ever was. I mean, I really look at everything that I do, not necessarily as my job. I mean, you know, I need to raise my family and things like that, but I see it all as kind of an offering for this community. I mean, my goal, I don't really think I've even started yet. Just making this place a genuine music town.
We are certainly very grateful for that.
Well, you know, I'm just trying, you know, I'm trying my hardest and, you know, it's working. With kind of every day that we go on, more people know about this place and more people want to play. I mean, the inquiries I get just from, you know, the last year of having the Raccoon Motel open, it's amazing the opportunities we have for people wanting to come here, you know, with both there and Codfish Hollow. You know, we're not short on some of the best people in the world wanting to play here. And, you know, that really wasn't always the case. It hasn't been the case, at least for a long time. And I think I'm just kind of scratching the surface for, you know, where I can take this place. Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of ideas that, you know, hopefully I'm going to get off the ground this year. And there's a few other venues I'm working on that I'm going to open this year. And it's going to get a little bit weird.
You had mentioned Codfish Hollow, and for those who don't know, that's this incredible venue outside Maquoketa, so about an hour north.
Yeah.
Tell us how you got involved with that.
We did a tour, I had this idea to do a tour all in barns in the Midwest. I don't know, that was probably, 8 years ago, I guess, 9 years ago.
And is that what Barnstormers was all about?
Yeah, so we called it a Barnstormer, and it was like a 5-day thing, and I just found five barns just randomly. And the Beals, who owned the barn up in Maquoketa, were the first people I found. And I got introduced to them through a mutual friend and went up there and looked at the barn, and it was filled with hay. And I talked them into getting the hay out of there, and we started doing shows there.
Yeah.
You know, we did, from the day I met them, when I drove out there and just kind of looked at the property, I mean, we were strangers, and I think we did our first show there 3 weeks later.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was pretty weird. I mean, it's really strange, like, kind of how it's all happened, but they're some of the most amazing people I've ever met, and it's been a really great friendship and a really great partnership. And I think what we do out there makes a lot of people happy. And so that makes me happy.
It certainly does. People who have seemingly very disparate, you know, interests and different backgrounds really do find this community around music, which I find such a hopeful thing.
Well, I think that place out there is in particular, well, it's very special. I think anybody that goes out there feels it. But more so than that, I think it brings together such an interesting melting pot. I mean, it is really amazing just to see who goes out to that barn. Mm-hmm. And
I've seen entire families with young children.
It's amazing.
And I've seen people over 70
Absolutely.
Out there. So we all love music at any age.
Yeah, it's great. It's magical.
Yeah. Besides your musical passion, you are involved in other projects, including being one of the organizers of the upcoming TEDx conference, and that's being held at the Figge on March 7th.
Yep. Yeah, that's it's going to be a really cool event. It's quite the process. There's a lot of rigorous sort of rules involving that whole TED world. And
this will be the first one in Davenport.
This is the first one, yeah. And, you know, if all goes well, I think the way it works is that you can kind of like retain your TEDx license. So they kind of have a radius clause, so there really can't be another one very close to here. So it's kind of a special deal. You know, it took a little bit of... The main organizer is Andrea Olson, and, you know, she kind of set out to grab that license and kind of put on this event here. And she reached out to me and a woman by the name of Chris Caves, who, you know, we've just kind of been along for the ride a little bit. There's been a lot of work, but we've kind of been vetting the speakers, you know, had to reach out for speakers, you know, have gone through rehearsals. You know, it's kind of a rigorous sort of thing that they have to go through. Things have to be very specific. And, you know, the whole idea behind the TEDx talks is, you know, they have to sort of introduce new ideas and they have to kind of be inspiring. And
and are these outside speakers that are coming in, or are they
local? A lot of them are, yeah. I mean, we have rehearsals and they've flown in for rehearsals. And it's really kind of incredible. I mean, it's one of those things. I think you get into that TED world and you want to be kind of on a speaking circuit. It certainly does help you. It gives you a leg up. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that have had kind of their ideas and a thought of what they want to talk about ever given the opportunity for this. And there's some really great presenters that we've found or that jointly found us. And that combined with kind of just the whole day, I mean, there's kind of like people that we'll have in the lobby just doing various things, art, you know, just other things, just other kind of like things that they're passionate about. I mean, really, I think that's kind of what it boils down to, is a lot of people that are just passionate about something and they kind of like really boil it down to a short talking point, because I mean these talks are between five, you know, most of them are 5 minutes, a couple are 10 minutes long, so it's not like you have a lot of time to really ramble. You have to be concise and you have to kind of get to the heart of the matter. You know, it's been really inspirational, you know, just kind of being a part of it. But I think it's going to be a really great event for the community, and hopefully, you know, we had a lot of interest, you know, for attendees, and I think it's going to be a really, really interesting thing.
Oh, I think so too. TED Talks have been so popular. I listen to them a lot in podcast form, and it's just really exciting that we're hosting one. So thanks for your involvement with that. And just, you know, you have quite a breadth of interest, which is really fun for me. So Sean Moeller, thank you so much for talking today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. I hope you have a great turnout at your upcoming Gas Fest at the Village Theater in Davenport this weekend, February 15th through 17th. The schedule can be accessed online at Moeller Nights, that's Moeller Nights.com, and day passes can be purchased online at that same website.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hope to see you there.
I hope everybody's there.
This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK. Theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.